This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake has modified its golf policies to follow the COVID-19 public health recommendations and welcomes you to play this award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic golf experience. The Meadows at Mystic Lake is a full-service golfing destination, enhanced by nearby food and entertainment, including the Meadows Bar and Grill and Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by Shakopee Mid-Wakanton Sioux Community.
Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and scorenorth.com.
You gave us a chance at the end, but I got three words for you. You like that?
All right. Welcome into the show. This is Purple Daily, daily Vikings entertainment. You can find us in everything we do at Score North on scorenorth.com and the Score North app. And Purple Daily, Apple, Spotify, scorenorth.com, and the Purple Daily YouTube channel, where we're going to be live on Wednesday night for the greatest phenomenon in American sports, the NFL schedule release. We already know the teams, and now we get to find out the order on Wednesday night. So hang out with us, Mackie, Judd, executive producer Declan, and Judd's bobblehead collection.
Exactly right.
Should be fun.
A lot of those.
So Purple Daily presented by TCL. Enjoy more of what you love with TCL. And you'll notice if you're watching on YouTube, we've got another friend from Pro Football Focus. So Eric Eager has always been a regular contributor on this show for a number of years. And we're happy today to add Seth Galina to the Kirk Cousins fan club. It's a christening for you, Seth, after you wrote on PFF.com, Kirk Cousins is a dark horse MVP candidate after the Vikings improved their offensive line. And I love your tweet where you said, I don't actually believe he's going to win MVP. It's just a joke. Actually believes it more than anything, and it's the only constant I hold on to as I get sucked further and further into the void. So, all right, explain yourself here. You've got a lot of split fans that are watching and listening to this right now on Kirk Cousins.
Well, okay, so my thing with Kirk Cousins is like, this is my theory on life, really, is that I believe there's like a parallel universes. And I think a lot of people believe in this type of stuff. So there is a universe out there. Like, we live in universe, you know, dimension number like 85B78 or whatever it is, right? There is one universe. There's one. And trust me, there's not many. There's just one. There's one universe where Kirk Cousins wins an NFL MVP or wins the Super Bowl or takes the Vikings to the Super Bowl. I don't know if it's this one. I hope it's this one for my sake. For my own sanity, I kind of hope it's this one because I put
you
out
like all that. My... You like that?
I put out so much pro Kirk Cousins propaganda that I hope it's this universe. Because, look, at the end of the day, he's like, I will say that I like these quarterbacks who don't come in with a lot of physical skills, and that's certainly Kirk Cousins, right? He doesn't have the strongest arm. He's pretty accurate, but he doesn't have the strongest arm. Obviously can't really move around the pocket, and I'm sure we'll talk about that because it's important. And so, like, when I see these guys who have, like, you know, I'm a quarterback coach at heart, so it's like when I see these guys with tremendous, you know, footwork, the drop back footwork, timing and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, look at this guy, he's such a great quarterback. And then I get carried away a little bit, and then I say that these guys are dark horse MVP candidates.
Love it.
That I don't know if I should take back or not. But anyways,
no.
That's kind of why I like Kirk Cousins, and he's not a bad quarterback. Like he was like seventh in PFF grade the last season. you know, 93 point something grade. Like, that's really good. There's obviously issues. And I know, you know, talking to Vikings fans right now, there are many issues. But I just, there's something about him that I'm into from a quarterback perspective. And that's why I hang on to this hope that this is the universe where he wins the MVP.
Seth, I love this. And I don't know.
I don't. Trust me, I don't.
No, but no. But I don't know if as you wrote this, you thought about the possibility here. But here's what I love that you've done. You have, in fact, it's a rule of mine that's very, very smart. What you've done is observed what Kirk has, right? Thielen, Jefferson, Irv Smith, Dalvin Cook. An O-line that is now, pass protection-wise, should be improved, right? And you've come to the conclusion that if Kirk plays as well as Kirk can possibly play, there's no reason why. If he can get off to a good start, which he's not done for 2 years now, but then he always bounces back. There's no reason why he can't be in the mix because he's got the talent around him. He's got the players. He should have the protection. You to me have done the genius thing. You've applied smart pressure here because you're not wrong. Like, I don't think he's going to win it. But he certainly has the, for what he's paid, he has the pieces around him to be in contention for exactly what you're talking about. And that's why I love this.
You know, I think the one of the problems, like you said, is how much he's paid. Because you don't want to have to rely on everything else around him being perfect if you're paying him this much money. I think that's really the biggest issue. But with that said, like, he already has the money in his bank account. Like, nothing's going to change now. So it's like, okay, well, now we can put together this really, really great team around him. And like you said, the receivers are great. Getting Jefferson like they did last year, you know, losing Stephon Diggs, you're thinking, okay, well, it kind of sucks that now they have to just go and kind of gamble on taking another receiver in the first round because they need that second receiver. And they got, look, whatever you want to think about the draft, and they really got lucky getting Jefferson because he could have been Jalen Reagor. And then we saw what happened, you know, with the Eagles last year. Obviously, Jefferson's a hell of a player. It turns out that he's a hell of a player. So it worked out for them. The offensive line has been horrible. A lot of guys like can deal with not having the best offensive line. Kirk Cousins is not one of those guys. And that's kind of what I'm talking about when I say maybe you shouldn't pay this type of player that much money, but he has the money. So now they've traded back. They've taken the tackle who probably was already the guy that they wanted to take at 14, and they get him at 23 and get an extra draft pick. The guard they take, you know, that's Darisaw in the first round. The guard they take in the third round is a player that I like because I think that some of the issues that caused him to slip all the way to the third round were more schematic at Ohio State. I'm talking about Wyatt Davis. So I think, like, as an individual pass protector, run blocker, he's a very good player and probably more of a mid-second round type of player. So I think that, like, changes a lot. And, you know, the thing I wrote about in my article was how bad specifically the interior of the Vikings offensive line has been in Cousins' tenure. And importantly for that is that because he's not mobile and because he tends to hold on to the ball for a long time, and this is something that I was surprised about when I looked at the numbers, you think, and this is like, you know, playing into some like stereotypes, and I'm fall victim to it all the time. It's like you think that, well, he's this non-mobile quarterback who's like has like kind of an okay arm but is accurate, so he gets the ball out quickly, right? Because everyone like that is Drew Brees, right? They just get the ball out quickly and they do that stuff, and Kirk is not like that. And it reminded me of something that an article or a podcast or something that Jay Gruden was on talking about his time with Kirk Cousins, and he was saying how, you know, Kirk won't let me put plays in the game plan for Sunday unless we've run them perfectly, absolutely perfectly during the week. And that's not possible. Yeah. And then when he gets out on the field, it's like if the guy is not perfectly wide open in the way that he likes it, he's not going to force anything in. So I think that, so it's like, okay, and now it makes sense to me. That's why he's holding on to the ball so long. Well, you can't do that when you don't have mobility and the pocket is being collapsed inward on you. like you're stepping up because you know how a drop back works, and you take your 3-step drop, your 5-step drop, and you start moving back up to, you know, the line of scrimmage. Well, all of a sudden the pocket is being pushed back into you. That's not a good combination. And he still performs pretty well. Like I said, 93 PFF grade and stuff like that. So now you're thinking, even if he doesn't change that much, just the fact that that interior offensive line or the offensive line as a whole is not getting pushed back, he's not getting pressured as much, he can be the same quarterback. He can hold on to the ball a little bit longer than most quarterbacks would, especially most quarterbacks with his physical skill set, and then still be able to at least not get sacked because he takes a ton of sacks, maybe get some checkdowns. You know, less negative plays, I think, would be important. You know, maybe it's not that he's holding onto the football and then hitting a deep post for a touchdown. It's maybe he's holding onto the football and then getting a 4-yard completion on a checkdown, and then Dalvin Cook breaks a tackle and go for a first down, like something like that. So I don't think he even has to change that much. I think what the Vikings have done with the offensive line should help them, the whole team, whether he wins the MVP or not, should help them just be that much better next season.
I think like everything you just outlined is a great summation of the it's less about Kirk and limitations, and there are some, and you laid them all out, and it's more about contract. And when people say, well, I mean, that's the market, it's a supply and demand issue in the NFL. There's like 20 reliable quarterbacks in the world, maybe at any given time, and 15 of them are going to be available in free agency or up for a contract, and so therefore they get 15 to 25% of a team's salary cap now, but I think there's a difference between market value and what a quarterback should get paid, and how much a quarterback needs to be paid for you to have a chance to build the right roster around and win a Super Bowl. And Seth, like when we watch Championship Weekend and then the Super Bowl, very rarely does a team that wins the Super Bowl march through with perfectly clean conditions up and down, and the game script goes the way that you want in all the games, and the pocket is clean for 80% of the game, right? It's like it's improvisational plays. Like, think back to all the big highlighted plays that win Super Bowls. Like, it's random crap that a quarterback has to be improvisational. I think Kirk knows that, and he has talked about wanting to use his legs more to extend plays, even though he's not Lamar Jackson. So I think the biggest question for his evolution, if he's going to be an MVP or if he's going to get to the level of taking a team to the Super Bowl, is can he be better off script? Is that something you can learn and get better at when you're 32 years old or whatever he is right now?
Yeah, that would be the issue. And I think, you know, I completely agree with what you're talking about going into the playoffs and things are not going to be clean. I think back to, you know, I'm a Saints fan, so I think back to, and this is related to you guys, the playoff game 2 years ago, the Saints at the Vikings. So, you know, Breeze is having this really good season. Obviously, he missed a few games, you know, the Bridgewater games. And then he comes back, they play the Vikings in the playoffs. And in a one-game scenario, winning, you know, lose and go home, the pocket wasn't great for him. The Vikings had a great pass rush that game. They're rushing 4 and still getting to the quarterback. And all of a sudden, they couldn't move the ball. You know, so I think that – so, again, I agree with what you're saying in terms of, you know, you got to have a quarterback who can just do stuff when he's wrong. That's what I've been saying a lot about the rookie class coming in. When we look at what type of quarterback you want as a rookie, is, you know, you're not always good. The defenses are so good right now at creating pressure, coming with exotic blitzes and dropping defensive linemen so that they might get a free guy, but they're actually not blitzing 8 guys. You know, they're blitzing 4, but getting a free guy. So that's tough on a quarterback because you don't have a hot route to go to. So when I talk about these rookie quarterbacks, it's like, hey, you need some sort of escapability because especially as a rookie, you are not going to be right about getting into the right protection, about knowing where your hot receivers are and stuff like that. So I think that that's so important in today's NFL. Can Kirk learn that, at an advanced age? That's remains to be seen. And I think you're going to have some sort of situation where, you know, I think you could maybe use the Nick Foles Eagles year as an example. You know, just like a flash in the plan, like having a, you know, the Eagles were good, you know, obviously with Wentz during the season. And then you kind of have this flash in the pan, 3-4 games in the playoffs. And maybe that's what needs to happen with Kirk Cousins. Now, the problem is, I think with, I could be wrong about this, but I think with Foles, using that Foles example, he had like unsustainable play under pressure, which honestly, and then, you know, him being a big body, he can probably get balls out that Kirk couldn't, but maybe that is, that's actually part of it. And maybe you just get to the postseason, and then he has an unsustainable run of play under pressure where it's just a three-game run. That's all you really need, right? Just a three-game run, like this is March Madness. You get hot from three or something like that, and maybe that's the way it happens. It's funny, as I talk, I get less and less convinced that Kirk is going.
Oh no, the CEO of the Kirk Cousins fan club is stepping
He's
down.
Like, I'm just not going right to. No, I'm not going to go with this anymore. This delete, take is washed. Delete. Sorry.
You know, but it's like I keep going back to this because I do feel like, as I said, as a Saints fan, you know, I'm 33 years old. So like in 2006, when Drew Brees became the quarterback, I was like 18 or whatever. And that's when you know what I mean? So you watch football as a kid and you kind of understand it. But then when you really start to understand it is when you get to your 20s and you can sort of contextualize football, and especially being a football coach. So like I grew up with Drew Brees and like that specific style of play. So of course, when I see someone like Kirk Cousins who has similarities to that, I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This is the guy. Here he is. The next great quarterback. Because, and honestly, he has some of the cleanest footwork in the game. Like he's super sweet with his feet. It's just like, there's just so many issues. So like, I still like those guys. But I do wonder if I would be the CEO of the Kirk Cousins fan club if like the Saints had like kept like Aaron Brooks for my 20s, and I would have seen a completely different
probably not. Oh, probably not. Love it. So Seth, what is your thoughts too on when you watch film of the Vikings offense and Kirk as a whole? Because part of this equation, too, goes beyond Kirk. It goes to play calling, and they obviously love to use Cook, and they love to run. In your analysis, how much do the Vikings have to at least start to shift a little bit more to a team that passes? To if you're going to get the best from Kirk, it seems to me that that's also an important step that he clearly does not control. It's controlled by the actual offensive play calling.
Yeah, I think what would worry me after a few seasons. Now, I think, you know, you look at the offense that he's been put in, this, you know, Kubiak, Shanahan, Gibbs offense. And when I say Kubiak, Shanahan, Gibbs, I'm talking about like the 97, 98 Denver Broncos, when they kind of created this horizontally stretched running game paired with all the play action off of it. And that kind of went away, kind of went out of style for a bit. You know, we still kind of lived in a West Coast or maybe a spread type of system in the NFL. And now it's back in full force, right? Now everyone's running it because we've seen the Rams have success with it. We've seen the 49ers have success with it. And we're seeing Kirk Cousins have success with it. I think what would make me nervous is once you pull back all the runs and all the play actions, can he be a straight drop back passer time and time again? And while I think he's better than Jared Goff, to use him as an example, you know, when the Rams have had to do that with Jared Goff, it's looked really bad. You know, when he's not had the benefits of that play action, that wide zone scheme, it's been rough. You know, so you can only do so much as a play caller. And you look at McVay and Shanahan with Garoppolo. And you know, I think Kubiak, and now we're going to have a new Kubiak, but I think they're, and Stefanski before that, I think they're all pretty good play callers, but you can only do so much to get the quarterback, especially in the straight drop back game, to his first read that's going to be open all the time. Like, you got to have a guy who's going to be able to progress through his progressions and make plays for you in the same way that we've been talking about. Like, it's not going to be perfect. The pocket's not going to be perfect. It'll be better this year, but it's not going to be perfect. You got to start getting rid of the football probably more to players who you might not think are open, but probably NFL open. So I think that, like I said, I think that would scare me the most if you peeled it back and said less runs, more dropback passes. Are we going to get the same? Are we going to get the same production out of Kirk? Is he that good? You know, part of my Kirk for MVP campaigning is on exactly that, which is, yeah, we got to keep this run game going. We got to keep all the play action boots going because it's what helps him be this productive quarterback. So I don't know. I think that would be scary if they peeled it back. But if they peel it back and he's having a great season, like it could happen where he peels it back and we are living in the universe where he wins the MVP and he has a great season like that, dropping back and he's delivering bombs and throwing the ball accurately and stuff like that. So I guess if we see it, it'll be pretty early in the season that we see a game where they're behind and they got to throw the ball a lot, and we'll know which universe we live in probably by week 3 or 4.
Hey, Seth, last thing for you here, because just for the audience, you can find Seth as host of the PFF College Football Podcast. You do a ton of great work analyzing the college game. So just your quick thoughts on Kellen Mond. I think the way we look at it here is Kirk's contract is the problem. He's the third highest cap hit now. 2022, he's the second highest cap hit at $45 million. It's you can't play on that contract if you want to build a Super Bowl roster. So we look at Kellen Mond and say, okay, if he pans out at $1 million to the cap next year, you could build a pretty nice roster around him with the remaining cap space, but he'd have to develop pretty quickly behind the scenes. So what do you see with him, and how likely is it that he could be a viable starting quarterback in a year or two?
I think with Kellen Mond is like the consistency is the issue. Now, consistency is the issue with everyone who doesn't make it in or isn't an elite player in whatever sports league we're talking about. I mean, that's really the crux of the whole operation here is like, can you if you play in the NFL or play in the NHL, you play in the NBA, whatever it is, like you can. I always think about it in hockey terms. I'm getting off topic here, but I always think about hockey terms. Like everyone can skate down the ice and shoot the puck in the top corner if you play in the NHL. But can you do it 50 times a game, 50 times a season like Alexander Ovechkin can? No one can, right? So I think that's what the problem with Kellen Mond is. Like we saw this high-end play. We also saw this really low-end play. He's a little robotic. I think he needs to be a little looser in how he goes through progressions, how he takes some shortcuts to get to the right receiver. And he's, the accuracy is just hit and miss sometimes. Strong arm, and he can get the – you see some plays where, he's under pressure and you get the ball out, you deliver strikes. So I think that's really nice from him. Like I said, just the inconsistency, a little robotic. And I think what you hope for is him playing without a lot of surrounding talent. The offensive line was okay, but the receiver is not that great, and they did lose their best receiver like in week 2 or something last year. The tight end's pretty good. He might play in the NFL. But besides that, that's it. Jimbo Fisher's scheme doesn't do a lot of favors for him. It's a lot of tougher throws, got to get through progressions and then find a backside receiver on like a dig route. And so not super easy. So I think that if you're thinking positively, you're thinking, hey, he played in a tough situation. What would he have looked like if he played at Alabama instead of Mac Jones? And he had all his clean pockets and these receivers running free all over the place. Like, would he look like Mac Jones? And I think, like I said, the high end, that's what you're hoping for, is that he is actually a really good quarterback who just played in a bad situation.
Yeah. Great stuff, man. PFF Seth making his debut on Purple Daily here with Mackie.
Kirk Cousins, baby. MVP.
Print the shirts.
Yeah, print the shirts. All right, thanks, Seth. Nice talking to you guys.
We'll talk again sometime, man. And we'll get to, real quick here in a second, we'll get to the Vikings are back. It's now like the third or fourth wave of free agency, and there's a couple connections that we'll get to. But Seth's appearance with us was presented by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company, and Kellen Mond is insurance for Kirk Cousins and Kirk Cousins' contract. Really, if Federated protected football teams, they would come in and say, listen, we specialize in risk management. We specialize in tools that can help protect your business and give you peace of mind. And that's what a good backup quarterback with upside is for the Vikings. So find out more about the tools that Federated can help your business with at federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
Oh my gosh, who lives in that cabin? What's wrong with their lakeshore? Look at all those weeds. Ugh, that is the worst cabin on the lake.
Don't be such a busybody.
Excuse me?
They must not know about Aquaside.
Is that what we use?
Yep, just one application of Aquaside each spring keeps our lakeshore weed free.
Shh.
Don't be that cabin this summer on your lake. Eliminate lake weeds this summer with Aquaside pellets.
I should tell them about Aquaside.
Oh, now who's the busybody?
Call 1-800-328-9350. Or go to aquaside.com.
That was some great insight. I think he summed up Kirk Cousins very well in that he's got impeccable footwork. He's very accurate. There are some Drew Brees type qualities there, right? Where he's pocket passer, dart thrower guy. And then the flaws come in when things aren't perfect, or it's time to thread a needle into a tight window, or it's time to decide which plays go in the game plan for the week, right? And Kirk is very much in this tight space of, compared to a bunch of other quarterbacks, especially the more mobile ones now that are improvisational and running around and keeping plays alive, like he operates with such a thinner margin for error, and it puts more pressure on the front office and the rest of the coaching staff to make the pieces around him more perfect than maybe Pat Mahomes needs or Josh Allen needs, right? So I thought he did a good job of summing up everything that is Kirk Cousins.
But that's the problem, is I don't think that you can unteach yourself. I think it's Kirk's personality, so I don't think it's a football thing. I think Kirk needs things to, in life, be a certain way. And I don't think that you can, that's a compartmentalized piece of your brain, so you can't remove it. Like it's not a footwork thing where you can coach that out. That's how he thinks. And it's a great description. And that comes back to the fact that in no professional sport, or hell, no sport, things are never going to be perfect. Like there are probably a lot of guys who would be really, really good with perfection. But it also begs deeper this question. How on earth did you sign this guy knowing this and not give him an O-line that could really pass protect him? Like, that's the question. The question is, because Kirk didn't get here and change. Kirk was the guy in Washington that he's been here. I don't understand how you watch Kirk on film and talk to Kirk, and I'm sure talk to people around Kirk in Washington who probably said, yeah, the guy needs perfection, and then said, we'll make do. Like, that will always be my question for the Vikings, is because I appreciate the attempt that they made with Kirk. I appreciate the fact that they identified him as the rare guy who is a starting caliber, pretty good quarterback who hits the market and you can sign. I will never understand how you didn't know enough about him to say, if we're going to do this, that O-line pass protection wise has to be really good. Not, oh, we'll make do, which is what they said.
So, it's good stuff. And, I love it. I love that he's going into this parallel universe of what Kirk could be if situations were perfect or different. Boys, before we say goodbye, let's at least mention, so Doogie has reported, I think on both these guys, that, okay, now that the draft is over, okay, the Vikings still have a few million dollars in cap space, and there's like a third wave, fourth wave of free agents out there.
Yep.
So two names that the Vikings have been tied to. Let's start with name number one here. Wide receiver and former fourth-round pick by the Jacksonville Jaguars, Dede Westbrook. So some background on Dede Westbrook. He's a free agent now. He missed almost all of last season with a knee injury. He only caught one pass last year. In the two seasons prior to – he's like 28 years old too. In the two seasons prior to that, 66 catches in 18, 66 catches in 19 – for 700 and 660 yards, 8 total touchdowns. Now, to me, the biggest hook here, he's an older guy. Like, he wasn't drafted until he was like 23 or 24, I want to say. But he ran a 4.39 40 coming out of his pro day in 2017. So he's a burner, but he also is coming off a knee injury.
Yep.
Interesting candidate as a third wide receiver.
Interesting, but he sure seems like, and it seems like this team always signs this guy, right? Like, we're going to bring him in, and he either gets cut out of training camp or makes the team and does not play. So the thing about this is, until the Vikings commit to a third guy who's actually going to play, I don't know it's a huge deal unless a player gets hurt. So if Thielen or Jefferson go down, it's important. But there always seems to be a guy that the Vikings sign. Veteran guy, receiver, he might catch some balls, and like he barely plays. So that to me is this.
Yeah, he also only averaged like 10 yards per catch, and so that tells me he's not using his speed like DeSean Jackson has throughout his career, where he's like breaking free down the field, or they were using him in a weird way. It's just like normally guys who are that fast that are deep threats are going to average way more than 10 yards per catch. It'll be more like 18, 16, 18, 20 yards per catch.
Fitzy, call Fitzy up.
It's a little bit weird.
Possession guy.
Yeah, would you guys rather have Dede Westbrook in his prime?
Fitzy.
Fitzy?
Yes. I think I'd take Fitzy too.
Fitzy would be fun. He might be cooked.
I think he might be cooked.
He might be cooked, but I think he would. I think he would help your team.
Yep.
Okay.
I think he's a really good guy, and I think he would help your team on and off the field. More importantly,
another name connected to the Vikings: edge rusher Ryan Kerrigan, formerly of the Washington Football Team. So Ryan Kerrigan was the 16th overall pick in 2011. He's now 32, going to be 33 years old by the time training camp kicks in. Interesting candidate here in that he played the majority of his Washington football career as a stand-up outside linebacker in a 3-4 system.
Yeah.
And then Ron Rivera came in last year. They switched that defense to a 4-3, and so he became an edge rusher in that system. He was more of a part-time player. He played about half the defensive snaps. Pressure rate was down. But in previous seasons, he's been a really good above-average pass rusher. And where he's been dinged, according to Pro Football Focus, and why he's not a regular player, is his tackling has not been great, and his ability to play against the run has not been great. So
yes.
Ryan Kerrigan, could you bring him in as sort of a 50% of the snaps guy opposite Danielle Hunter as an edge rusher? Maybe. I don't know that he's an 800 snap guy at age 33 at this point
in
his career.
Didn't we all learn our lesson last year, Yannick Ngakoue, the scouting report? And by the way, he is or was in his prime. The scouting report was what? He can get sacks, rush the quarterback, not great against the pass, okay? Or the run, I should say. And you know what happened? He was all of those things and got traded. Unless I were to get Kerrigan at just a cut rate price, I have no interest in going down the path of, because here's the thing. Think about how bad they were against the run last year. Think about all of the things that they have done to improve that, which I applaud. That's great. That's fantastic. So to bring in a guy again, I would much rather find an end that can get some sacks. That's great. But more importantly, be effective against both the run and the pass. So this would need to be, to me, a complete bargain for the Vikings to make this deal.
I'd rather give, like, you've got these two rookies that you drafted as edge rushers, DJ Wonnum. Someone who's got fresher legs, who's not 33 years
old. Develop somebody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing about Kerrigan, too, is so he did play in every game last year, including the wild card playoff game against Tampa. So he played in 17 games last year for Washington. Yep. He only had 16 total pressures.
Yeah, I'm not.
So basically one pressure a game. He did have six sacks, so he got home six times. I don't know. It kind of feels to me like if this was 3 or 4 years ago and you were going to flip him to be stand-up outside linebacker in a 3-4 to a edge rusher in a 4-3, let's do it.
Yep.
Feels like it's a couple years too late. I don't know that there's got to be better places to allocate that money.
Exactly.
Even without much available. I'd rather go get a bona fide third wide receiver than Ryan Kerrigan.
And here's my thing, too. And I'll go wonky here with football geekdom, okay? If Danielle Hunter is back healthy and playing, let's just say it all works out, okay? At the current rate, and all of his snaps are at left defensive end, I got a problem with that. Like, this guy is a weapon. And if he's back, he is one of the elite players defensively in the league. He's one of the best players when healthy in the league, probably, right? You have an opportunity here. And I mean, we saw it in the playoff game against the Saints. This impressed me more than Cousins in that game. There's one takeaway that I hold dear to this day, true to my heart. And that is that the Minnesota Vikings and Zim came up with a defensive plan, Phil and Dex, that was outstanding, right? And what did they do? Griffin and Hunter moved inside at times. They switched them up. So the thing that is opened up here with the right end possibly being a younger player or a rotation is the fact that you have the opportunity to do different things with Daniil, and I think you absolutely positively should all season long, not just in a playoff game.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. So those are a couple names that are still floating out there. I don't know, Larry Fitzgerald hasn't announced his retirement yet, but he's sort of publicly vowed to only play for the Cardinals.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
It'd be a blast. We'd have a good show, at least, recapping it here. All right, so tomorrow's a big day on Purple Daily. We're going to give you two meaty episodes. One, our standard Wednesday, write that down, an accountability session. but also a live NFL schedule release party on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. So check that out. And if you're listening to us on Apple, please give us a 5-star rating and a positive review. Over 600 ratings on Apple. So thank you to everyone who wherever you listen, but that's the best place to give a review is Apple. And thanks to everyone who has downloaded the Score North app. It's the central hub for everything we do. Purple Daily, Mackie and Judd, Royce Unchained, The Scoop with Doogie, 10,000 Swings, Loon Talk, and all of Judd's written work as well. So good stuff today, boys. I think we learned a lot from PFF Seth, and we're back at it tomorrow with mostly incorrect predictions. See ya.